Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Jill Robbins, Bruce Albert, Mario Ritter, Anne Ball, and Dorothy Gundy. Later, John Russell and Pete Musto will bring us this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, here is Jill Robbins.
People are turning to social media to identify white supremacists who attended last weekend's violent protest in Charlottesville, Virginia. The white supremacists, including neo-Nazis, skinheads, and Ku Klux Klan members, came to protest planned removal of a Confederate statue. Heather Heyer was killed when a man drove his car into a group of counter-protesters. Police said the driver was James Alex Fields, Jr., described by a former teacher as a Nazi supporter. He is being held in jail on murder and other criminal charges.
The Twitter account at Yes, You're Racist ran photos of people attending the protest organized under a Unite the Right banner. It asked people to identify the people pictured in the photos. At least 10 people have been identified as of Thursday. At Yes, You're Racist's followers increased from about 60,000 before the Charlottesville protests to over 400,000. Logan Smith of North Carolina is the man behind the At Yes, You're Racist Twitter account. Smith started the account 5 years ago to report on racist comments about former President Barack Obama. As a white man, Smith said he believes people should be held responsible for racist and anti-Semitic speech. Smith works for a liberal group in North Carolina. Smith said he is receiving threats of violence against him and his family. The threats are disturbing, but it's nothing that I consider credible, he said. So right now, I'm just trying to get past this and hold people responsible.
Among the people identified as joining in the violent Charlottesville protests on the At Yes, You're Racist Twitter account are Cole White and Peter Svyantanovich. Soon after the report appeared on Smith's Twitter page, White gave up his job at Top Dog, a California restaurant. Svyantanovich told Channel 2 News in Nevada that he did not expect the photo of him marching with a burning stick in Charlottesville to be seen by so many people. He also said he is not the angry racist they see in the photo. The University of Nevada, Reno, said Svyantanovich is a student at the school. Mark Johnson is president of the college. He said America's guarantee of freedom of speech means Svyantanovich cannot be dismissed from the school. It requires us to support the right of people to express views with which we sometimes vehemently disagree, Johnson said.
But not everything reported on social media about the Charlottesville violence is true. Smith had to apologize for identifying a person shown in a photo wearing a Nazi armband. The man said the picture was not taken in Charlottesville, but at an earlier event. Other social media sites got it wrong when they identified a man wearing a University of Arkansas College of Engineering shirt as a teacher at the school. The teacher told the New York Times that he was attending an art exhibit in Arkansas and was not in Charlottesville last weekend. This is not the first time social media got things wrong. In 2013, people used social media site Reddit to name a missing student as a suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing that killed three and injured nearly 300 people.
It was not true. Two brothers, Jokar and Tamerlan Tsarnaev, were charged and convicted in the bombing. Reddit later apologized. I think the danger is that the internet doesn't always get it right, said Elizabeth Bem-Morowitz. She is an associate professor at the Department of Communications at the University of Missouri. Social media can hold people accountable for racist and anti-Semitic opinions and even identify people who attacked people, Bem-Morowitz said. But for people accused wrongly, it is difficult to correct false reports once they reach thousands, even millions of people on the internet. The burning sticks carried on the University of Virginia campus Friday night were photographed and shown widely on social media and in television and newspaper news reports. It reminded some people of Nazi Party rallies in Germany before and during World War II. The sticks are made by Tiki Brand. The company put out this statement on Facebook. Tiki Brand is not associated in any way with the events that took place, the company said. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Bruce Alpert.
A court in China held a closed hearing on Monday in the case of a well-known Chinese activist. Wu Gan faces up to 10 years in prison. Legal observers expect the court to announce its decision in a few days. Wu is said to face up to 12 charges, including inciting state subversion. Wu is best known for making fun of official efforts to block his push for justice. Wu Gan is known in China by his online name, The Butcher. Wu once served in China's military. He became famous by using unusual campaigns that combine online speech, street performance, and humor to criticize other people's actions. Wu was first arrested in May of 2015 after he reportedly swore at the head of a court in Nanchang, a city in Jiangxi province. He was officially charged with inciting state subversion 2 months later. However, his detention was reported to be part of the July 9th crackdown, a government campaign against rights lawyers that began in July of 2015. Wu did work for the Beijing Fengrui Law Firm, a law office that was a main target of the crackdown. His trial on Monday was not open to the public. The court in Tianjin said in a statement that this was because state secrets were involved. The statement said Wu recognized his behavior was a crime and that his lawyers presented arguments in his defense. The court added that a decision would be handed down at a later date. Before the trial, Wu released a statement that his father published online. In that statement, the activist said he expects a heavy sentence because he refused a state-appointed lawyer or to admit guilt in court. Wu said he also refused to admit guilt in front of a television camera for officials' propaganda purposes. And he said he wanted to show how the police had tortured him. Wu described the trial as a farce and said he would refuse to speak in his own defense. An innocent man doesn't need to defend himself, the statement said. Wu also said he did nothing wrong but to exercise his civil rights guaranteed by China's constitution. He said being found guilty would represent an honor awarded to warriors for liberty and democracy. Jerome Cohen is a professor at the New York University School of Law. He called the statement a moving and accurate description of the misuse of China's legal system to limit freedom of speech. Cohen wrote on his blog, "This account of his personal experience encapsulates virtually all of the abuses the Xi Jinping regime has been committing against human rights activists." You Minglei is a legal assistant and a friend of Wu Gan. You said Wu would likely receive a 7 to 10 year sentence. You told VOA that Chinese officials were angry with Wu for his pursuit of illegal misconduct by local governments or public office holders. He noted that Wu wrote stories with names like Guides to Butchering Pigs and Guides to Drinking Tea, which made officials angry. Increased security was reported around the court in Tianjin, where the secret trial was held. Several China-based diplomats and journalists, including a VOA reporter, were barred from observing the trial. I'm Mario Ritter.
The United Nations says over 1 million people have entered Uganda to escape violence in neighboring South Sudan. The UN's refugee agency reported Thursday that an average of 1,800 South Sudanese arrived daily in Uganda over the past year. 1 million others are reported to have gone to Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and the Central African Republic. Recent arrivals to refugee camps have reported barbaric violence in their home country. They say South Sudanese civilians are being burned alive in their homes. They report of sexual attacks on women and girls and kidnapping of boys who are then forced into armed groups. South Sudan's civil war began at the end of 2013. Aid agencies say there has been increasing violence since a power-sharing agreement collapsed in July of last year. Civilians have suffered the most in the conflict. The International Committee of the Red Cross says one in three people living in South Sudan has been displaced. It also says one in two South Sudanese is severely hungry and in need of food assistance. The New York-based group International Rescue Committee, or IRC, reports that 75% of the South Sudanese refugees in Uganda have arrived in the past year. Amnesty International has called the 1 million mark a wake-up call for the international community. The group says other countries must act to stop violence and other abuses against civilians in South Sudan. The United Nations has estimated it will need $674 million this year alone to provide for the refugees. But the UN says it has received only 20% of that amount. The lack of money has forced the World Food Program to cut food supplies for some refugees. Classes have also been affected in the few schools available. Some classes often have as many as 200 students. South Sudanese families continue to arrive exhausted in Uganda. Armed rebels keep a close watch on the South Sudanese side of the border as the people cross. The most recent arrivals have suffered through heavy rain, cold nights, and the sun's heat to find safety. Once on the Ugandan side, Lesi Aya and her family stopped to rest. She says they stayed 3 weeks under trees with only simple cooking equipment, plates, and drinking glasses. She says they need to be taken to a place to find peace and leave what happened behind them. I'm Ann Ball.
South Korean President Moon Jae-in says U.S. President Donald Trump has told him North Korea would not be attacked without South Korea's approval. Moon said the United States and President Trump have declared and promised that whatever military action they would like to take, they will fully discuss it with us and get our consent. South Korea and the U.S. are in full communication and discussions, he added. During a televised news conference, Moon also promised to prevent another military conflict on the Korean Peninsula. The event marked his first 100 days in office. Moon has called for reducing tensions through talks and engagement. This has been different from the U.S. president's efforts to put maximum pressure on North Korea for its missile tests and nuclear program. However, Moon said North Korea should stop the development of a fully operational intercontinental ballistic missile. Such a development, Moon said, would cross a red line and raise the risk of military conflict. Moon said President Trump is trying to pressure North Korea by showing firm determination. But he said he considered economic pressure was the main way to persuade North Korea to take part in nuclear talks. Tensions on the North Korean peninsula eased this week as North Korean leader Kim Jong-un postponed planned missile launches. North Korea had threatened to launch missiles targeting waters near the U.S. territory of Guam in the Pacific Ocean. Trump called the postponement a wise and well-reasoned decision in a tweet on the social network Twitter. North Korea's threat was in reaction to new United Nations Security Council restrictions. The goal of the measures is to ban about $1 billion worth of North Korean exports, including coal, iron ore, and seafood. The U.S. and other countries have accused North Korea of using export income to fund its banned weapons program. Moon's news conference Wednesday came less than 1 week before the beginning of yearly military exercises between South Korean and U.S. troops. North Korea strongly condemns the exercises, calling them preparations for invasion. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
The new school year is beginning in communities across the United States. Many students are busy at work in their new classes. Some are already thinking about all the homework they will face in the weeks to come. Schools often require students to read academic articles, short or long reports about a class-related subject. Teachers also ask students to write book reports and research papers. Today on Everyday Grammar, we will explore two grammatical structures that you will see often in academic writing. We will show you how to use those structures. We also will show you when not to use them.
If you are writing or reading for academic purposes, you will likely see the following structure: it plus is plus an adjective plus a that clause. This is a common way to express an attitude, opinion, or position. It is often used when considering an idea. Note grammar experts Susan Conrad and Douglas Biber. Here is an example.
It is clear that the evidence is inconsistent.
Here is how you can understand the sentence. The subject in our example is the word it. Then comes the verb is. After is, there is an adjective, the word clear. After clear, there is a that clause. A that clause is a group of words beginning with the word that. It has a subject and a predicate. A predicate is the part of a sentence that expresses what is said about the subject. The that clause has the idea that the writer is considering. In the example we gave you, the idea under consideration is the following statement: the evidence is inconsistent. The adjective clear suggests the writer's judgment. By saying it is clear, the writer is saying that he or she agrees the evidence appears to be conflicting with other information. Note that the writer did not write, "I think that the evidence is inconsistent," even if it has the same meaning as the example sentence. Why? We will explore that issue later in the report. Academic writers often use it plus is plus an adjective plus a that clause to raise questions, note possibility, and express importance. For example, you might read the following sentence:
it is unlikely that the results will be conclusive.
Or,
it is likely that the information was incomplete.
In the former case, the writer is using the adjective unlikely to raise questions. In the latter one, the writer is using the adjective likely to express possibility.
A second common structure, it plus is plus an adjective plus an infinitive phrase, is often used to judge an action. The infinitive phrase describes the action. The adjective shows the writer's evaluation. Consider this example:
it is difficult to define these ideas.
In this example, the infinitive to define relates to an action, while the adjective difficult shows the writer's evaluation. Writers often use it plus is plus an adjective plus an infinitive phrase to show possibility, difficulty, importance, and so on. So, for example, you might read the following sentences:
it is hard to understand these effects.
Or,
it is necessary to carry out further research.
In the former example, the writer is expressing difficulty, while in the latter, the writer is expressing necessity.
The two structures we have discussed are common in academic writing. You should try using them with your own adjectives, that clauses, infinitive phrases, and so on. There is one point to keep in mind, however. You should know that sometimes you might not want to use these structures, especially if you are writing for business or even artistic reasons. In those situations, it might be better to use more direct language. Consider the first example we gave you.
It is clear that the evidence is inconsistent.
This is a common, acceptable way to write a sentence for academic purposes. It is grammatically correct. However, the statement uses indirect language to express an evaluation. The writer is expressing an opinion without specifically writing, "I think," for example. However, if you are writing for purposes other than college professors, you could simplify your language. You could give a very direct evaluation by writing, "I think the evidence is inconsistent," or simply, "The evidence is inconsistent." The structure that you choose to use depends on what kind of writing you are doing. It is difficult to improve your writing, but with practice, you can do it. I'm John Russell.
And I'm Pete Musto.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.